And you're listening to 89.1 WEMU. A good Monday to you. I'm David Fair, and I have on the other end of the line the executive director of the Civ City Initiative. Together, Mary Morgan and I partner each Monday to give you a preview of your civic engagement opportunities over the coming week. It's a new feature called Civic Matters. Mary, how are you?
I'm good. Happy International Read Comics in Public Day, David.
I had no idea. Now, how are you going to spend your afternoon? Are you going to be engrossed in comic books all day?
I'm going to go across the street to Vault of Midnight and see what kind of civic-related comics they have.
Sounds like a plan to me. Let me ask you a question. How long have you now lived and worked in the Ann Arbor area?
I moved here in 1996, and I will tell you, one of my first stories was to interview Charles Gelman of Gelman Sciences.
And
this is where you're going.
Exactly right. A perfect segue. Basically, in all of your time here, there's been a devastating environmental issue underway, and still today it remains unresolved. We are, of course, talking about the 1,4-dioxane plume that is spreading underground, emanating from that old Gelman Sciences facility on Wagner Road in Scio Township. It's a contamination plume that some estimate could reach the Huron River in 3 decades or less. And in fact, we have a Wayne State University professor that told WEMU in very small amounts it may have already reached the Huron River. Now, Mary, that dioxane plume will be the focus of a public meeting later this week, right?
That's right. On Wednesday, there'll be a town hall in Ann Arbor at the downtown library starting at 7. And it looks like there'll be a ton of elected officials, including Congresswoman Debbie Dingell, some state legislators, and I'm hoping that they'll give an update on the EPA Superfund decision. I don't know when that's going to come down, but I think in general they're going to give a status report and answer questions from the public.
I think it would also be interesting to find out what is going on behind the scenes and behind closed doors. Finally, the city and the county got a seat at the legal table to discuss remediation and potential full cleanup. Now there's the potential they're going to lose the seat at that table because of a lawsuit filed by the now owners of Gelman. And we're still talking about contamination containment rather than true cleanup. And all of these issues need to be more publicly addressed, don't you think?
Absolutely, you know, and I have to give shout outs to a couple of citizens. First of all, Dan Bicknell, who is credited for discovering this in the 80s, and then Roger Rail, who has been on the front lines.
Scio Citizens for Safe Water, right? Yeah.
Absolutely. He was founder of that, and I just saw him coincidentally last week, and he said, you know, we really need to find somebody who can take over for me because he's been doing this for decades. And I think that they deserve a lot of credit for really being on the front lines and tracking this situation.
Sometimes it seems to fall out of public awareness until something brings it back up, and Roger has been one of those citizens who has repeatedly brought it back up so that we don't forget and we don't let it go unnoticed or undealt with. So, agreed with you wholeheartedly on that front. Once again, if you'd like to attend a public forum on the 1,4-dioxane plume, that's going to be held at 7 this Wednesday evening at the downtown Ann Arbor Library branch. Now, along these same lines, Mary, a little further down the line, there's going to be a public meeting on the City of Ann Arbor's hazard mitigation plan. What all is entailed in that?
Well, this is something that the city first did in 2012, and it's updated. They update every 5 years, so it's just that cycle. It's actually interesting to read in the context of what's happening in Texas right now. Mm-hmm. It is the current plan has a ranking of 22 different hazards, and the number one hazard is severe winds, lightning, tornadoes, and hailstorms. So I think that in the context of what was happening in 2012, if you remember, the Dexter tornado had just hit, the tornado in the Dexter area. Mm-hmm. And so I think that was top of mind. I'll be really interested to see if current conditions influence people's sense of what they view as a potential hazard or natural or man-made disaster in this next go-around.
And it will be interesting to see how that information gathered from the public will then be applied to policy and what it really means for us environmentally moving forward. Once again, that is a hazard mitigation plan that will public forum that will take place Monday, September 11th at 6 p.m. at Ann Arbor City Hall. And again, you can fill out the hazard mitigation plan public survey online as well. You are listening to Civic Matters. It's a regular Monday feature, heard only on 89.1 WEMU. I'm David Fair, alongside my partner in this endeavor. Mary Morgan is executive director of the Civ City Initiative, which you can find online at civcity.org. Now, one of the hazards that many of us have experienced at one time or another, Mary, is trying to find parking in Ann Arbor. Sometimes it's easier than others. Sometimes it can be a source of frustration or even an exercise in futility. Later this week, the Operations Committee of the Ann Arbor Downtown Development Authority will meet, and it sounds like parking enforcement may be one of the topic items up for discussion. Any idea what that might be about?
I went to a DDA retreat earlier this summer, and one of the items was the possibility of extending the hours of parking enforcement to 8 p.m. in the downtown area. So right now, after 6, you don't have to pay. They're looking at changing that. And this is leading up to a joint working session that the DDA board is going to have in September with the Ann Arbor City Council. I think it's a contentious issue, certainly. The other piece of it is the possibility that the DDA would actually take over enforcement duties so that they would be responsible for the people who go out and give you tickets and making sure that they manage that. Right now, the city does that. So we'll be watching to see what exactly they propose and then what the council does to respond.
Any feel as to how merchants downtown feel about extending the hours of enforcement?
I don't think merchants are in favor of it.
I don't think drivers are either, but.
Yeah, well, and I know some people have talked about extending the hours of enforcement even later. So, you know, I think that there's a range, and we're going to see where it shakes out. Of course, extending hours of enforcement would mean additional revenue for the city. So it's also a way to manage demand, which is the spin that the DDA puts on it. So we'll see where they come down on this.
Well, and we'll certainly be following along on that subject as well. Once again, you are listening to Civic Matters on 89.1 WEMU. David Fair and Mary Morgan here, as we are each Monday, to update you on your opportunities to engage civically in our area and become more involved in the public discourse that can shape the decisions, determine the manner and the quality of how we live. We have one more long weekend before school starts for most of the area kids. Next Tuesday is the day. In Ann Arbor, Mary, I believe you've found a way to kind of keep up on what's happening with the Ann Arbor schools, its students, and even some of the alums.
Yeah, you know, I would never recommend this as the only source of getting news for the school system, but
there's never just
one
source.
I do think it's useful. No. I would recommend listening to WEMU, for example, as a primary source.
I've heard that's a good place.
But the schools put out, the Ann Arbor Public Schools has a news publication. It's called District News. You can sign up to get it in your inbox. They do stories. They do features about students and teachers and activities that are happening in the schools. A former colleague of mine from the Ann Arbor News, Jo Mathis, which many people may recognize, she used to write a regular column. She's the editor of the publication, and she's a terrific writer. So you can see some of her work there. And a former colleague of yours, Andrew Clooley, also contributes.
Indeed. So you know you're getting valuable information when you check it out. I do want to take it one step further. One of the things that they may or may not address on that particular website, but will be addressed as the school year moves forward and City Council takes on these issues as well, is pedestrian safety. While new measures are being studied and implemented in and around Ann Arbor, this is probably a good time to get in the mindset that if you're going to be out and driving while the kids are trying to get to school, be extra cautious and alert. We've had problems in the past.
Yeah, I think it's always good to be aware of pedestrians, but particularly as kids are going to be starting to maybe even walk to school. You know, I'm glad to see that there's more funding allocated in the current city budget for pedestrian safety issues. And then, of course, if the countywide millage for public safety and mental health services passes in November, some of that money that comes back to Ann Arbor will be used for pedestrian safety measures.
And rest assured, that issue will be coming up as part of future editions of Civic Matters. Mary, as always, I appreciate the time.
Have a great week.
That is Mary Morgan, Executive Director of the Civ City Initiative and our content partner in the weekly feature, Civic Matters. I'm David Fair, and this is 89.1 WEMU-FM and WEMU HD1 Ypsilanti.